No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith this week for another edition of Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Actually, Ed is on hiatus once again. He's on the lam. That's the only thing I can come up with. Every time he leaves town, he just seems to disappear. So I got Keith on via the web, and it's me and him as your crew today. And we'll manage. And it's good we have you, because if it was just me, all I have is questions, and I'd have no answers. But I have you to lean on today, Keith. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go for it.
All right. So since the show last Saturday, I actually flew down from Orlando to the Caribbean, went to the Turks and Caicos Providenciales, the airport's PLS, and I was on the heels of Hurricane Joaquim that had kind of come through the area down there. Didn't really hit the Turks and Caicos directly, but it skirted, you know, the backside of the storm. And didn't create any damage for them, thank goodness. However, it created some wind issues for the island and closed down the airport for like 4 days. And my flight into PLS was the first cleared flight for the airport in the 4 day closure. So I didn't realize that until we landed and I looked out the window and I noticed like, hey, there's no airplanes here. What's going on? And zipped right through customs, which, you know, you get that benefit because there was nobody else there in line. And then they told us, oh, yeah, we just opened up the airport about an hour ago. So,
you just ruined all that because I was going to give you, you know, points for, you know, using all your influence in all the different areas that you're involved in to get, you know, the approval to go in.
Well, they knew I was coming. So that's why they.
Too late.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, I kind of snuck in without them realizing. If they would have, they would have left
the opposite
closed.
Would actually happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Now, I was flying commercial. It wasn't a private plane. But we had a little interesting scenario here. So I did have a connection to Atlanta, and it was only 45 minutes. And I was like, you know, you're flying international. Whenever you do that, a 45-minute connection flight to your destination, usually not enough time to get yourself and your bag, especially when you're flying into Atlanta. But I got to give Delta, you know, some props because they got me in, they got me checked in, and I was off to, you know, Providenciales with no issue. However, you know, I wasn't sure what the deal was with the airport because when we took off from Atlanta, they hadn't officially announced that the airport was open. Now, maybe the pilots would have had to know if the airport was open before they took off. Am I right or what? Or do you know?
Not necessarily. They probably had word that the airport was going to open and, you know, that the winds had calmed down and stuff. And so,
yeah,
you know, the dispatchers at Delta Airlines would have gotten, you know, some assurance that, you know, the airplane is going to take off.
Right.
So the airport is going to open at such and such a time.
Okay. And that was the plan. I mean, they even said on their airport website, I was checking that, and it said it was supposed to open like at 1 o'clock. We were doing it just before 3. So, but we were taking off a little bit before that. So I figured, you know, surely they called ahead or they had a plan to divert, which is what they would have done, right? They would have just found some other island to go land or, I guess, turn around. Am I right?
Well, the problem there is, you know, the other islands were hit pretty hard by Joaquin. And so
yeah,
there probably wasn't any place else for them to go but turn around and come back
into
the Florida area.
I don't know what the conditions were like at the other airports, but evidently Haiti was an alternate landing site because we landed on our Delta flight as the first flight in, okay? And the second flight was an American flight, and I had some friends on that flight. They were flying from Miami, and they came in about 20 minutes after we landed, And after I got through customs, I was waiting for them, and I met them, and they said, wow, that was interesting. I said, what happened? And they said, well, we came into the airport, and the guy came in with his airplane on the American flight and kind of did a touch and go. They said he got literally a foot from the runway and decided to go around and came on the loudspeaker, said, ladies and gentlemen, we got it. We're having some issues with the winds here. We're going to go around and take another attempt. And if we don't make it, we're going to Haiti. So evidently he was having some issues landing the plane, but he got it down on the second attempt. And, he did evidently tell the passengers that if we don't make it on the second attempt, we don't have enough fuel to do anything other than go back, go over to Haiti.
And that's refuel. That's not uncommon.
No, that's not uncommon, and, huh?
No, but he made the decision to go around earlier than 1 foot above the ground.
Yeah, and he just happened to get that low after decided.
Because, you know, once you have that momentum, you've got that downward momentum going.
Right.
And, you know, you've got the thrust pulled way back for landing. And so once that thrust comes back, it takes a while for those engines to actually spool up. So, you know, if you're less than, you know, 50 feet, you're going to contact the runway before you actually get airborne again and get enough speed and get the thrust, you know, on those engines high enough in order for you to continue the go around.
So is that the time when you want to be a fly on the wall in the cockpit of one of these airplanes, one of these passenger planes like that, a big old, you know, 747 or whatever, because they're saying words that we can't repeat right now? Would they be doing that?
No, not at all. I mean, this is what pilots train for. You have, you know, in your past training years ago.
It's coming back, I swear.
You started training, and we taught you how to do go-arounds, right?
True, yeah. And doing a go-around was no big deal. Yeah. So they learned the same thing
so
on a bigger
scale.
They
learned exactly the same thing.
I got you. Okay.
And so they practice that on a regular basis, and we practice things like wind shear and, you know, high winds and things like that. We throw those kinds of things at pilots to make sure that they are aware of how the airplane handles and what to do in those types of situations. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's a non-event because most of the time you're going to land out of your approach. And so, you know, going around is a decision that, you know, it can't be taken lightly.
Right.
It's a maneuver that we practice all the time in the simulator. But keep in mind, we only go to the simulator once a year. And so when you're out online, very seldom do you actually do those. So, you know, it gets a little bit tense up there because it's just not something that they do every day.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did learn the go-arounds in my general aviation training in the Cessna 172. But, yeah. You don't hear of commercial airliners doing go-arounds very often when you're flying from one place to another. So it is more of a rare occurrence in the commercial aviation world. Am I right?
Well, yeah, because, you know, we've got our air traffic controllers are great for the most part. I've had to do a number of them, you know, with the airplane, with the airlines, I should say. You know, you get an airplane that doesn't clear the runway all the way. And so, you know, you can't have two aircraft on the runway at the same time.
Right.
You know, you get somebody who pulls out in front of you to, you know, for cleared for takeoff. I had this happen to me one time at LaGuardia. We were coming in for the approach, and they had cleared another airplane for takeoff. And unfortunately, somebody got up and went to the bathroom. And they're sitting on the runway. They can't go anywhere. And so, you know, he's telling me he's got to get moving. He's got to get moving. We got an airplane coming in behind you. And, you know, the guy's like, I got somebody up. I can't move the airplane. And, you know, so he tells us, you know, we got to go around. And, of course, those people had a little talking to. But that's one of those, after you get off the runway, they go, we got a phone number for
you. Yeah, we got a phone number for you. And here's a bottle of Metamucil. So we won't have that restroom issue again for you.
Yeah, maybe. But you know that's one of the things that passengers have to know and understand. They gotta understand that seatbelt sign. It's not just there, you know, because we don't want you up and moving around.
Right.
It's because we don't want you up and moving around because there's some critical phases of flight that go on.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's not, you know, it's not just because we're trying to punish you.
Yes. Well,
there's things that we got to do.
Yeah, they might tweak it a little bit just to, you know, add some salt to the wound and make it a comment or two, or, you know, post your name on Facebook with some kind of obnoxious picture, maybe. Right? They could do that on the sly.
Well, yeah.
But that's just for their own amusement.
Well,
can you blame them?
No. I think they should because, you know, I'm on flights every week. You know, you seatbelt signs on, the airplane's bouncing around because you got mm-hmm. turbulence, and people are up walking around.
Yes.
You know, they're all adults. I mean, can you not hold your pee? Come on.
Yeah, you can, and you should, because you're making things a little dicey. And, you know, there were wind gusts and 25-mile-per-hour winds. We'll talk about how to handle that kind of condition next, right here on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website you can go to and connect with Keith and Ed and have them be your flight instructor if you so choose. All right, so we're talking about this flight that I had into Providenciales, into the Turks and Caicos, and it was on the heels of Hurricane Joaquin. We were the first flight into PLS, the International Airport for the Turks and Caicos, and the second flight that came in, he had to do a go-around. This was a big, you know, 727 or 747, fairly big plane. You know, but this is a pretty decent airport. I don't know what the runway length is offhand, but I would say it's, you know, standard, you know, for the Caribbean. And generally, the airlines don't have any problems. But there were obviously some serious winds going on, and that's why the airport had been closed down for 4 days. Not necessarily because of rain or hurricanes. It was just because the wind gusts and everything were creating issues. Now, from what I could see, Keith, The wind was blowing pretty much straight down the runway, so they had that going for them. But I think it was they were getting some crosswind or gusts because of the hurricane that was creating havoc. So when he's coming in here and then he decided to do this go-round, what do you think went through his mind? Do you think it was just that gust kind of threw him and he maybe lost more altitude than he wanted? Or maybe, actually, you know what? I said it was blowing down the runway, but I think they were coming in with a tailwind. So that would have been, they should have went the other way, shouldn't have they? That couldn't have helped them having a tailwind because he could have run out of runway. It would have made him float. Am I right?
Well, yeah, but you're only allowed with a Part 23 certificated airplane, which is any airliner, you're only allowed a maximum of 10 knots tailwind in order to land or take off. So if it's more than that, they're not even going to attempt the landing.
They must have been going into the wind then, because I think we were definitely up in the 15 to 20. Because they were having, you know, the day before they were doing like 25-30, and that's when it was closed. And, you know, so I don't, maybe I just can't remember. I thought I remember looking at the flag going, wow, they were landing with a tailwind. Maybe that's why he had to come around or go around, because, you know, he floated longer than he wanted to and realized like, hey, wait a minute, we're not going to have enough runway to do this. But it might have been just gusts or something. Yeah, I guess it's anybody's guess, right? You just don't know until you try it, kind of thing. Am I right?
Well, I mean, if he had a tailwind, even a 10 knot tailwind is going to extend your glide pretty far.
Yeah,
and so you have to, you know, we teach the aiming point method of landing, and you know, you can use that in an airliner as well.
Okay.
I wish all instructors would teach the aiming point method of landing, but. That could have been the issue. It could have been he just got a gust of wind or had a gust of wind, and then it relaxed at the last minute, and his descent rate was too hard, or I'm sorry, too fast.
Right.
That he would have, you know, impacted the ground at a higher rate of speed than he wanted to, just didn't have the control that he wanted.
Multiple
reasons why he might have wanted to go around. But I doubt he was landing with a tailwind. It was probably more of a crosswind.
Yeah.
And just trying to, you know, get everything straightened out. Because pretty much down there, the winds are pretty much always right down the runway.
Right.
Unless they get a storm like this, then they start getting into some pretty heavy crosswinds. And those can create some problems.
Yeah. And that's definitely what was happening with the hurricane that had come through the area that we were still having remnants of. When we got out of the plane, I mean, it was blowing. I was like, whoa, no wonder, you know, well, actually, our Delta flight pilot didn't seem to have any issue. I kind of figured we'd come in pretty rough, and, I watched how he, but he got in with no problem. But the American flight, about 15, 20 minutes later, he was the one having some issues, according to my my friends that had gotten off that flight when he had went around once and it did the go around. I just wonder too, you know, at a place like Turks and Caicos, they're not going to have the weather information necessarily or the all the wind direction issues is complete as they would at an airport in the States. Am I right, or what do you think?
No, they're pretty advanced down there. They've got the airlines, if they're going to go in there, they have to have the minimal amount is required for them is greater than what it would be required for you to go in there in a general aviation airplane. So they're pretty advanced down there with what they've got, so they know what's going on. And they knew kind of what to expect down there. But, you know, conditions can change so rapidly in just a couple minutes' time.
Right.
So, you know, when you guys landed, the wind gusts might have been, you know, pretty calm at that particular point. But when the American, you know, flight came in, you know, the gusts were peaking at that particular point. And there's a lot of variables, as you know. When you're landing an airplane, there's no two landings that are ever the same because you've always got variables.
Yeah. Well, do you think the Delta pilot could have been there waiting for him when the American pilot got off and said, dude, really? Well, you couldn't just follow my flight path? Really? And kind of rub it in, rub some salt into that little wound or something, you know? No.
I think that if the Delta pilot saw it, he probably would have. But... No, that's typically not what airline pilots do.
They're more professional than me, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
So they wait till they get to the bar at night to do it.
Exactly. Yes. But yeah, you know, they got some new improvements to PLS, to Turks and Caicos Airport. It was actually really nice, too. They've done some nice upgrades to the airport. And on the way out, you know, they got a whole new second floor to the airport. It's quite nice. So anyway, there's a little bit of, you know, background of what I've been up to the last few days. And I got to tell you, it is a great airport to fly in, not just commercially, but perfect for general aviation. And that's what I did with Clay last time. So it was kind of nice to be familiar with the layout of the airport from a general aviation standpoint and see how the commercial airliner came in there. And actually, when I left the islands, I was watching several planes take off and how they were lining up and that kind of thing. And it's a fairly low, you know, it's not really that busy. You know, that's the beautiful thing about those airports. It's way less busy than flying out of a smaller or Orlando Executive. Our home base of operations is way more busy than what you'd typically encounter in the Turks and Caicos, even when they have a, you know, a big jet coming in every now and then. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, I wish all our airports in the States were like that. It'd make things way easier. You think?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they just don't have the, I mean, there's not that many people down there.
Well, there's not that many people, but there's islands, there's scuba diving, there's beautiful water, there's beaches. They got a lot going on down there. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, but they just don't have the population to have all the airplanes down there.
Yeah.
What you're talking about there, you're talking about a lot of tourists flying in.
Yeah.
Whereas your airport, the Orlando Executive Airport, is a lot of private and a lot of corporate stuff going in and out.
It's all business. Ruins everything. Ruins the fun of flying.
Oh, you sound like this administration.
Yeah, okay, and we'll get into that before the show's out, I have no doubt. More coming up. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
Okay, so I'm not currently in my flight training, Keith. However, when I was in the Turks and Caicos, my head was still in the game. I'm standing there with my buds getting ready to board my plane to fly back to the States. And I literally predicted within like 20 feet of when each plane that took off rotated and started leaving the runway. Because it was blowing right down the runway when we left pretty consistently, probably 15 knots or so according to the windsock. So they had a pretty good headwind going in. I was like, man, they're going to be, you know, rotating not even halfway down the runway here. And sure enough, I nailed it. They're like, wow, Greg, you are good. I said, hey man, I'm a pilot. I was trained by the best. How's that for brown nosing?
Well, you know, I like that part. You know, however, you know, there's a number of factors that go in. You know, what's the temperature of the day? How heavy is the aircraft?
Yeah.
You know, all those kinds of things have to factor into it. You just caught it right.
Yeah. I caught it right.
But it's because you were trained well.
Yeah, exactly. You take credit when even if it's not due. That's what I do. But, yeah, it was – I mean, it was nice. I mean, when I saw how it was blowing that strong with a 15-knot headwind, not only can you take off in a short runway, but you can land really, really short if you're in a small plane, too. It's kind of freaky how short of a distance we need to land. Am I right? That's pretty pretty strong headwind.
Yeah, it sure is. And you know that same performance increase helps the jetliners land as well.
Yeah.
So you know it decreases their distance that they need to for the landing as well. So now some of them are going to take all the distance. And what they will do is they will just simply not get on the thrust reverses as hard or get on the brakes quite as hard as they would if they were, the winds were calm or if they're landing with a little bit of a tailwind.
Yeah. And that would just save gas, save brake pads, whatever, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because the brakes heat up pretty rapidly.
Are they brake pads or are they something special? It's just like a regular car?
No, brake pads.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
Brake pads.
And the longer you can make them last, the better. That's a good thing. All right. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today, navigating the latest aviation news and information and just doing what we can to help you out. I mean, we are here to help you, to assist you with your questions when it comes to learning how to fly. And James has been corresponding with us, I don't know, for the last month or so. He left a voicemail there at justplainradio.com where you can do the same by clicking on the Get on the Air tab. And we talked to him a little bit a few weeks ago, and he's been, I think he talked to Ed on the phone a couple weeks ago, and now he sent another question. So obviously Ed didn't answer all his questions. So he keeps them coming. So I figured, what not? What the heck? Let's go ahead and read one. And Keith, maybe you can, answer the things that Ed didn't quite complete. So here it is. I have been looking for jobs in an airport or in an airline, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to transition from being a truck driver to, flying an airplane and delivering goods for UPS or FedEx or something like that. But he said the websites of the companies have little or no info or listings any place. I'm looking, he asks if he's looking in the wrong place, and would like to know what our thoughts are in that regard. And you've done the same. You were a truck driver. You got into aviation. I don't know if you got into the aviation world with the idea of hauling stuff like you were in a truck. Were you, or did you?
Well, I was just looking to get into aviation in general.
Okay.
When I did it.
Yeah.
And so, what I did was I started going to the local airports first.
Okay.
And it's kind of what I recommend. There's a couple different ways you could go. If you go to the local airport, and I'm not sure where James lives, or
he's up in Ohio. He's up in the Ohio
area. I know he's in Ohio, but yeah. I just don't know exactly where.
Okay.
So I can't tell him exactly where to go. But if you go to the local airports, you go to the local FBO, the fixed base operator there,
mm-hmm.
and you just start talking to them about what you want to do. And a lot of times what you can do is you can get a job working on the ramp, washing airplanes, towing airplanes, and there's all kinds of stuff that you can do at a fixed base operator. And you may even be able to work in a deal where you trade your work time for flying lessons, which if that's what you really want to get into, that's certainly something I would inquire about.
Sure.
So that's one option there.
Yeah.
There's maintenance shops. If you're mechanically inclined, there's maintenance shops that you can go to. And, you just say, hey, look, I'd like to work on getting my A&P certificate, your mechanic certificate or license.
Yeah.
And you can work with the IA, and under them for 18 months, he can sign you off. You can go take the test. You get that. And it gets you some familiarity with the airplanes. So you can go to airport authorities. Even at a local small airport, you can go to the airport authority, get a job there, mowing lawns, doing all kinds of stuff, and it gets you around the airport. If you're around the airport, you get to know people, and that's where you just kind of network and build those relationships and get in.
Well, is that how you would have to work for that sounds like an internship for a kid. I mean, I think this guy, James, is, he's in his 40s. He's had a career in truck driving. I think what he's thinking is that, he'd like to go work for FedEx or UPS and be one of their pilots. And maybe he's wondering if there's a program that they do to certify pilots where you agree to work for a certain period of time and they'll take you up through the ranks. Is there such a thing for those companies or what?
Not that I am aware of.
Really?
Matter of fact, I know people that have worked for UPS, and if they want to stop working in the warehouses and be a pilot, they got to quit UPS and then reapply as a pilot. They won't take them from one department to the other.
Interesting.
That's just the way those organizations operate. But there's an awful lot of flight time that has to be gotten before you're allowed to go fly for one of those types of operations.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to get hired on and do that would be a little bit more difficult. Now, you will make more money if you're working for FedEx or UPS, you know, loading airplanes and things like that. You can make more money, but you're probably also going to be working the night shift, which is going to limit your time to fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's when they load airplanes, because their airplanes go at night.
And I think he was also talking about, you know, if he was based in Florida, for instance, you know, being part of some kind of, you know, carrier service to take parts, engine parts, or boat parts to, you know, islands in the Caribbean like the Turks and Caicos or down in the Florida Keys and kind of doing a puddle lumper, puddle hopper. What is it? You know, puddle jumper. Yeah, one of them.
And those, that's a great way to build flight time. And it's a great way to, you know, to fly. I love that kind of flying.
And that would be the same kind of thing, though. You need to go to the airport and network and try to meet those guys that are doing some of that and kind of mirror them or see if they'd take them under their wing or something like that, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you got to build those relationships. You got to get to know the people that do that kind of stuff. Or find a need and fill it yourself.
Yeah.
But the first thing he's got to do, you know, in this particular case, as far as James is concerned, the first thing he needs to do is he's got to start his flight training.
Yeah.
You know,
he's got to get that part done, right. Yeah.
That's what he talked to Ed about. You know, he was asking Ed all about the flight training portion, and you know, they talked for quite a while on that. And now he's wanting to get a job at an airport. And so, you know, doing the local airport, that's a great way to do it. Now, all of the airlines, each one of the airlines individually has their own website. And then on their website someplace, it's usually hidden pretty well because they're more for, you know, selling their tickets, is employment opportunities. And sometimes it's all the way buried at the bottom. And if you click on that, it'll tell you what the jobs that are currently available. Mm-hmm. And you just got to see what you qualify for and what you would want to do.
Okay, so they're there on their website. You just have to dig a little bit farther than you typically would for just a desk job, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Now, a lot of the ramp stuff is being farmed out where the airlines are not even doing that stuff anymore. Hmm. They're paying a third party to do that. And so, you know, you'd have to find those individual companies and, you know, get hired on with them if you want to be a baggage handler or something like that.
Right.
Now, another thing that you can do is go to your local airport, large airport, international airport, or domestic airport, and do the curbside check-in. The bigger the airport, the more money you're going to make. But I can tell you, the guys in Orlando, those guys are taking in over six figures a year.
What?
So, I mean, that's a pretty lucrative job doing the curbside check-in.
Well, would you consider that an introduction to becoming a pilot? Is that a? I mean, I guess you get familiar with airport logistics and stuff. I never would have thought of that being an entry-level aviation job, but you're saying it could be. At least put you in that position where then you could network with some other folks that are in the area, which would be pilots, and kind of getting the lay of the land at the airport. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to get to know other people. You're not really going to necessarily get to know the people that are, you know, have the corporate airplanes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets you on the airport if that's just what he's looking for.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to kind of hobnob, if you will, with the people that really own the airplanes and the ones that you really want to build the relationships with, that'll say, you know, hey, why don't you come along with me and fly with my airplane, you know, and this and that.
Right.
That's what you really kind of want.
You
want
to go to the FBO.
Smaller local airport for that.
Yeah.
That's where you want to go.
Right. Go work, you know, for Signature or one of those FBOs around the country, right?
Exactly, yes. Mm. Yeah. And a lot of opportunities open up for you through there. I mean, I know guys that, you know, I used to work at the FBOs, and I know guys that I hired at the FBOs that are now regional managers for fixed base operators around the country.
How about that? Do they still acknowledge you, or are you banned from those operations?
Well, one of them I'm banned from.
Yeah, of course.
No, those guys, they still appreciate what I did for them, way back then. And of course, when I hired them, I had no idea. Because both the, two of these guys that I'm thinking about, off the top of my head here, they both got hired because they wanted to fly. And that's what their goal was. They wanted to get a job working at an airport so that they could make a little bit of money and learn how to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of them fly today. But they both are making some really good money and running some pretty nice fixed base operations.
Very nice. Yeah, I mean, that seems like a pretty, there are cool places to be, especially the nicer ones. And then, like you said, you could hobnob with some folks that own their own plane. And they're like, hey, I'll take you for a ride. Those are the kind of friends you want to make in the aviation world. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yes. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
The flight situation. Simple. There's no way on earth we're going to get out of here tonight. We'd have more luck playing pickup sticks with our butt cheeks than we will getting a flight out of here before daybreak.
I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly.
Hi there, Bob Hoover here. You are listening to Just Plane Radio. Here's Greg, your co-pilot, and some other folks.
Yes, thanks, Bob. Flying the Feathered Edge, that documentary featuring Harrison Ford and Bob Hoover, my close personal friend, obviously. It just got released internationally. They're having some big premiere in, I don't know, Asia or someplace. And it's just going strong. It's a great film. Order it or Google it online and pick up a copy. Flying the Feathered Edge featuring Bob Hoover and his story. It's pretty impressive stuff for sure. All right, so aviation news and information is what we try to cover as much as we possibly can here for you at Just Plane Radio. And something came across my desk while I was in the Turks and Caicos that I figured might be worth chatting about today, Keith. And it hit really close to home for me because right before I left for the Turks and Caicos, I had to buy a car for my son. I was under the gun, and I had to, you know, maneuver all the nonsense you have to deal with at a car dealership, a used car. Do I go certified pre-owned? Do I consider a new car, which definitely wasn't an option? He's 19 years old. So, yeah, I got a used car, but certified pre-owned cars from the dealerships, whether it's Ford, Chevy, GM, whatever, you know, it's endless what they offer, and you have to, you know, navigate what's the best deal. But, you know, getting that extra warranty, peace of mind when you're buying a used car makes a little bit of sense, especially if you're mechanically inclined or uninclined, maybe is the right word in my case.
Yeah.
So,
mechanically declined.
Okay, maybe. You got me there. So I get this press release from Mooney International, and they have announced their first certified pre-owned aircraft program. It includes a 27-point inspection, repair, and refurbishment of the engine, avionics, airframe, interior, and exterior, and it's designed to attract new members to the Mooney family by ensuring a selection of superior quality pre-owned Mooney aircraft that are available in the marketplace. And it applies to 2004 to 2014 G1000 equipped aircraft, and also include a flyaway guarantee providing free repair and replacement of inoperative equipment for the first 30 days or 10 hours of taking delivery. So, I was like, okay, it's one of those certified auto programs. This must be fairly common in the aviation world. And then I asked you before we went on the air today, says, no, that's actually something kind of new. We don't usually offer such a thing. And I'm surprised. So are they just kind of taking a signal from the used car world and you know how they're selling you stuff and thinking maybe this will apply for aviation? And why hasn't anyone done this before that you're aware of?
Well, you know, I have not talked to Mooney about this, but you know, I can only assume that yes, they are taking a page out of the used car booklet.
Yeah.
But typically when you buy a used aircraft, you go through and you have a pre-purchase inspection done. You pick your mechanic,
right,
and you have them go through that and tell them, you know, what you're looking for, if you know of any specific things. If it's your first airplane, you really don't know, you just say, look, I need a pre-purchase inspection. And they're going to go through, they're going to check all the ADs, which is the recalls like you would have on a car.
Right.
The ADs are things that need to be fixed on airplanes. Make sure those things are all up to date. Make sure that all the annuals have been done and everything's in good shape so that you don't have to sink a whole lot of money into the airplane when you purchase it.
Right.
And, you know, you have an idea of what you're getting. And I know a number of people that have bought airplanes without doing that, and they've really gotten screwed where they've, you know. So that's been the very typical way to purchase an aircraft in the past.
And now, I think that's what Clay did for his Piper Saratoga. And he
bought exactly what he did.
Yeah, he bought it from a refurbishment company that does that. And they probably did offer some kind of warranty service, but it was a third-party thing as opposed to it being the manufacturer themselves. And that's
right.
How it's been in the past, I guess?
Yes. So now the manufacturer's going, you know, hey, we make a pretty good airplane.
Yeah.
And so they're going to take the better of the airplanes, the 2004s to the 2014s is kind of where they're looking at here. They're not going to go older than that.
Right.
They're going to take those new airplanes. They're going to go through them themselves, and they're going to offer a warranty on it. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's it could make a lot of sense to a lot of folks. When you roll off the assembly line with a new plane like that, does it lose its appreciation like a car does? You know, they say take off 20% or 25% of the car's value as soon as you drive it off the lot. Does that that's the same for airplanes, for a new airplane, you think, or no?
It is pretty much the same. You're using it. So,
yeah
the value is going down unless you increase the value in some way, typically adding more avionics or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the engine is going to depreciate as you begin to use that engine, and the engine life, you know, depreciates down. And then as the technology changes and the avionics change and get better and more sophisticated and able to do more things. And so
if money wasn't an issue, and I know with you it's not, would you buy a new or would you buy an airplane that's 2 or 3 years old?
Myself personally,
yeah,
I always go used.
Yeah.
You know, my motorcycles, my cars, airplanes, I buy used.
You don't need no warranty because you're like a mechanical genius. Is that what you're trying to say, too?
No, because I am not an A&P, so I can't work on my own airplane.
Okay.
I should be.
But you know people.
I do know people.
Okay, and that
helps. But I can tell you, too, that as an aircraft owner,
yeah,
the best way to own an airplane is to be able to work on it yourself because you save yourself a tremendous amount of money.
Okay, so if you can't do it, at least you should know people that can do it for you on the cheap, or at least give
That's
you
right.
a preferred customer
yeah.
discount, maybe.
Or work with you, and you know you can do some of the work yourself, like take all the panels off and stuff, and they do the inspection and give you a break on the price.
Well, there you go. That's one way to look at it.
There's always different ways to skin a cat.
True. And we don't really like cats anyway. So if they're in pain, who cares, right?
That's right. Skin them.
There you go, PETA. Take that. We're joking. Come on. And we'll end it on that disturbing note once again. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly. Yeah.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.